right. Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. This time, we're diving into a lecture by Dr. Elaine Phillips, a huge name in Old Testament literature.
Oh, yeah, she's brilliant.
She is. And we're going to be looking specifically at her intro lecture today. And I think our mission, wouldn't you say, is to try to figure out why this First Testament, as she calls it, is something that's worth exploring.
Right.
Even if you're not coming at it from like a super religious perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
So get ready, because some of the cultural connections we're going to be looking at here might just surprise you.
I think you're going to be really fascinated by how deeply these ancient texts are woven into our world today, even in ways, as you said, we might not even expect.
So let's jump right in.
Okay.
Why does Dr. Phillips prefer First Testament or even Hebrew Bible over Old Testament?
Well, I think it's all about challenging assumptions. You know, the word old can sometimes imply that something's outdated or irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to dismantle that perception right from the start.
Yeah.
Because these texts are anything but irrelevant.
It makes you think about how words have baggage.
Right.
Old, like, oh, that's old, you know, like get rid of that.
Right, exactly.
So she uses, she uses First Testament or Hebrew Bible.
Yeah, much more accurate, I think.
Yeah. And speaking of challenges, Dr. Phillips poses this really thought-provoking question about Israel being this testing ground of faith.
Uh-huh.
Why is that? Why does she use that phrase?
Well, the answer, if you really think about it, lies in the precarious nature of Israel's existence, you know?
Yeah.
It's a land that was constantly being threatened by these really powerful neighbors.
Right.
Where, you know, even basic survival depended on unpredictable weather patterns and stuff.
Hmm.
So this constant vulnerability really forced the Israelites to rely on something beyond themselves.
Right.
To kind of grapple with questions of faith and resilience in a way that really shaped their entire worldview.
Yeah. Makes me think about how challenges, like in our own lives, how challenges and vulnerabilities can actually strengthen our own sense of faith.
Absolutely.
Whatever
form
that faith might take, you know?
Right.
And Dr. Phillips also highlights a different way of organizing these scriptures.
Oh, okay.
Called the Tanakh. What can you tell us about the Tanakh?
So the Tanakh, which stands for Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, represents the Jewish understanding of the scriptures.
Oh, yeah.
And what I think is so fascinating about it is that Nevi'im actually combines historical and prophetic books.
Oh, interesting.
Which creates a very different reading experience, I think, than the more traditional Christian division.
Right, right.
It's like viewing a tapestry from an angle, you know? The patterns and connections that you might not have seen before just become much more apparent.
So how does that actually change our perspective then?
Well, I think, for example, by reading the prophets alongside the historical narratives, you gain a much deeper understanding of this interplay between events and their interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the prophets become these commentators on history, challenging the status quo, calling for justice and repentance.
Right.
It adds a layer of urgency and relevance that you might miss if you were only reading those texts in isolation.
It's like having a conversation across time, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
The historical events become even more meaningful when you view them through the lens of the prophet's pronouncements.
That's a great way to put it.
And this interconnectedness is, I mean, this is just one of the reasons why studying the First Testament is so valuable.
It is.
Dr. Phillips goes on to explain that it's crucial for cultural literacy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
She's saying that this is shaping our understanding of Western civilization in huge ways.
Yeah.
I'm curious to hear more about that. What specific examples does she give?
So she talks about how the First Testament is woven into the fabric of art, literature, music, law, you know, even language.
Wow.
Think about Rembrandt's powerful depictions of biblical scenes like Jacob wrestling with the angel. Or consider the emotional depth of Handel's oratorios.
Right.
Not just the famous Messiah, but also works based on figures like Samson, Solomon, even lesser known characters like Jethro and Judas Maccabeus.
I had no idea that Handel tackled so many biblical subjects.
Oh, yeah.
It makes you realize how deeply these stories have permeated our cultural landscape.
Absolutely.
Do you think that just recognizing these references can actually change the way we experience art and literature?
Absolutely. Imagine being able to decode these layers of meaning, to understand all those nuances and allusions that might otherwise just go completely unnoticed. Yeah. It's like having a secret key that unlocks a whole new dimension of appreciation.
It's like being in on the inside joke, isn't it?
Exactly.
And Dr. Phillips argues that it goes beyond just recognizing references.
Okay.
She says that engaging with the First Testament can actually shape our worldview. What does she mean by that?
Well, worldview is a complex idea, but essentially it's the lens through which we view the world. You know, it shapes our understanding of ourselves, our relationships, our purpose, even our values. And the First Testament, with its profound exploration of human nature, justice, suffering, redemption, it offers this powerful framework for making sense of our own lives.
So are you saying that someone with a worldview shaped by the First Testament might approach, like, questions of ethics or morality differently than someone who hasn't engaged with these texts?
It's definitely possible. For example, the concept of covenant in the First Testament emphasizes mutual responsibility and accountability.
Right.
This could influence someone's understanding of social justice, their commitment to community, even their approach to personal relationships.
That's fascinating. So even if someone isn't approaching the First Testament from, like, a religious perspective, it can still offer valuable insights into the human condition and our place in the world.
Precisely. And she reminds us that it's impossible to fully understand the New Testament without a solid grounding in the First.
Right.
She quotes the scholar F.F. Bruce, who argues that Jesus fulfills the promises and prophecies of the First Testament, like the Abrahamic covenant and the vindication of the law.
So we're talking about a deep connection between these two parts of the Bible, not just...
Absolutely, not just chronological.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes me want to dig even deeper into the specific examples that Dr. Phillips highlights.
Yeah.
What are some of the key connections that she points out?
Well, she delves into the way Jesus embodies the themes and expectations that were established in the First Testament.
Okay.
For instance, she talks about the Abrahamic covenant, which promises blessings to all nations through Abraham's descendants.
Mm-hmm.
She shows how Jesus, as a descendant of Abraham, extends this blessing to all who believe in him.
That's a powerful example of how the First Testament sets the stage for the New Testament.
It is.
It's like foreshadowing, creating this sense of anticipation that culminates in the person of Jesus.
Exactly. And she doesn't stop there. She goes on to analyze how the First Testament informs the teachings of the apostles, you know, demonstrating its enduring relevance for that early Christian community.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where things get even more intriguing, because she takes us into the heart of the New Testament itself, examining how writers like Paul and Peter draw on the First Testament to make sense of the Christian experience.
Okay, I'm on the edge of my seat. What does she reveal about Paul's perspective?
Well, in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul uses the Israelites' experiences as types, essentially, you know, foreshadowing or prefiguring to illustrate lessons for Christians. He draws these really interesting parallels between their journey through the wilderness and the challenges faced by believers in the Roman world.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's like Paul is saying, hey, look at what happened to the Israelites. They faced temptation. They grumbled. They even turned away from God at times.
Yeah.
But God remained faithful to them. And just like them, you're going to face trials and temptations. But you can find strength and guidance in remembering their story.
That's a great way to put it. And the examples he uses are incredibly relatable even today.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about the Exodus, the manna in the desert, the rock that symbolized Christ.
Yeah.
He also warns against idolatry, sexual immorality, testing God, and something we can probably all relate to, grumbling.
I see myself in that one.
Right.
It's amazing how these ancient stories still speak to us today.
They do.
Even in our very different context.
It really is. And while Paul highlights the lessons we can learn from, you know, Israel's past, Peter focuses more on how the First Testament provides us with everything we need for a life of godliness and virtue.
So it's not just about avoiding mistakes, but about actively cultivating a life that reflects God's character.
Exactly.
What specific virtues does Peter emphasize?
Well, in 2 Peter 1, he encourages us to cultivate goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love.
It's interesting. Those are qualities that, I mean, they resonate across cultures and time periods.
They do.
It offers a blueprint for a flourishing life.
Absolutely.
Regardless of your religious beliefs.
Exactly.
It sounds like we've only just scratched the surface of Dr. Phillips' insights.
I think so.
I'm already feeling like I need to grab my Bible and start exploring these connections for myself.
I think that's a great idea. And as we move into the next part of our deep dive, we'll explore even more of the richness and complexity that the First Testament has to offer.
All right, so we've established that the First Testament, it's far from irrelevant.
Right.
But how do we actually approach these texts? They can feel pretty daunting sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's where understanding the different genres, I think, within the First Testament becomes so important.
Okay.
Dr. Phillips spent some time unpacking this, and it's like she's handing us this map
yeah.
to navigate this vast and diverse literary landscape.
So it's not just about reading the words on the page, but understanding the context in which they were written.
Yes. The literary techniques being used.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Think of it this way. You wouldn't read a cookbook the same way you'd read a poem, would you?
Yeah, very different.
Each genre has its own unique style and purpose, and she breaks those genres down.
Okay.
You know, law, narrative, poetry, and prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like she's giving us this decoder ring for these ancient texts.
Okay. Mm. I'm intrigued. Let's start with the law. What kind of insights does Dr. Phillips offer there?
Well, she cautions us against viewing the law as simply a list of rules.
Right.
Instead, she encourages us to see it as a reflection of the covenant relationship
okay.
between God and his people. It's a framework for living in harmony with him and with each other.
So instead of focusing on punishment,
right.
it's more about relationship
exactly.
than community.
Precisely. The law isn't about arbitrary restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
It's about creating this just and flourishing society where everyone can thrive.
Mm.
And understanding this covenant context, I think, sheds light on so many passages that might otherwise seem obscure or outdated. That makes a lot of sense. Now, narratives, I don't know about you, but narratives always grab my attention.
Oh, me too. Absolutely.
What are some of the key points that she raises about reading those?
Well, narratives are just so powerful because they draw us into the lives of real people.
Right.
You know, with their struggles and their triumphs and their failures, and we can just see ourselves reflected in these stories.
Mm-hmm.
But she cautions us against reading them as simply moralistic tales.
Okay.
You know, she encourages us to see them as windows into this complex relationship between humanity and God.
So instead of trying to extract like a simple lesson from each story,
right.
we should be looking for, I guess, deeper truths.
Yeah. Absolutely.
About human nature
yeah.
and our relationship with the divine.
Exactly. It's about engaging with the characters, their choices, the consequences, and ultimately understanding our own human nature through their experiences. Think about the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel.
Right.
You know, it's not just this fantastical tale. It's an exploration of our own struggles with faith, doubt, the search for meaning.
Yeah, it's so human, isn't it?
It is.
That story.
Absolutely.
I'm starting to see how these different genres
yeah.
offer such unique perspectives on the human experience.
They do.
What about poetry?
Okay.
Poetry seems so different from the other genres we've discussed.
Yeah, it is. Poetry in the First Testament, I think, really speaks to the depths of human emotion.
Mm-hmm.
The Psalms, for example, you know, they express everything from joy and gratitude
right.
to despair and lament.
Mm-hmm.
They remind us that it's okay to bring our whole selves before God with all our complexities and contradictions.
Yeah. I often find myself turning to the Psalms when I'm feeling overwhelmed or lost.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something in there that resonates with my current emotional state.
Yeah, me too. That's a great point.
But what about prophecy? That one always seems
right.
a bit mysterious and hard to grasp, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, prophecy can definitely be challenging. But, you know, she emphasizes that it's not just about predicting the future.
Right.
It's about speaking truth to power, challenging injustice, and calling people back to God's ways.
So instead of getting bogged down in trying to decipher
mm-hmm.
specific predictions,
right.
we should be looking for the broader themes
yeah.
of justice, yeah. righteousness,
mm-hmm.
faithfulness.
Yes. And often the prophets use really vivid imagery and symbolic language to convey their message.
Right.
You know, think about the prophets who use dramatic actions,
mm-hmm.
like smashing pottery or wearing sackcloth, you know, to get their point across.
Yeah.
It's about understanding the historical context, the cultural nuances, and the emotional power behind their pronouncements.
It sounds like understanding the different genres is key to unlocking the richness.
I think so.
And complexity in the First Testament. It's like having a decoder ring for these ancient texts.
Yeah.
But even with this decoder ring, it's a vast and complex collection of writings, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Are there any overarching themes that Dr. Phillips highlights to help us make sense of it all?
Yeah. She points out several recurring themes that run throughout the First Testament, like creation and covenant, exile and restoration, justice and righteousness.
Mm.
And these themes, I think, provide a framework for understanding not only the biblical text, but also the human experience itself.
It's incredible how these ancient stories still speak to us today, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, they wrestle with these huge questions of life.
Yeah.
Like, who are we?
Mm-hmm.
What is our purpose?
Right.
How do we navigate the complexities of good and evil?
Exactly.
It's like these themes are woven into the very fabric of human existence.
And they remind us that we're not alone in these struggles, you know?
Mm.
The First Testament is filled with characters who face challenges and made choices just like we do.
Right.
Their stories offer us wisdom, guidance, and even hope as we navigate our own journeys.
Speaking of hope, one theme that always fascinates me is the idea of messianic expectation in the First Testament.
Yeah, that's a good one.
This is obviously a huge topic.
It is.
But I'm curious to hear Dr. Phillips' take on it.
Okay.
How does she approach this concept?
Well, she does a fantastic job of explaining how the concept of a Messiah, an anointed one, who would come to redeem and restore God's people, developed gradually over time.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't just this sudden idea that popped up out of nowhere.
Right, right.
She traces this theme through the covenants, the prophetic pronouncements, and the poetic yearnings expressed in the Psalms.
So it's a thread that's woven throughout the First Testament.
It is.
Building anticipation and pointing towards a future hope.
Mm.
It's like a symphony with different movements building towards this grand finale.
That's a great analogy.
And she highlights specific passages that were later understood as messianic prophecies.
Right.
Like Isaiah's suffering servant.
Mm-hmm.
And the Son of Man figure in Daniel. These passages would have resonated with the original audience in their own context.
Right.
But they also take on this deeper meaning when viewed through the lens of Jesus's life,
mm-hmm.
death and resurrection.
Exactly. Layers upon layers of meaning unfolding.
It makes me want to go back and reread these passages with fresh eyes.
I think that's a great idea.
I can see how understanding the First Testament's messianic hope is essential for grasping the significance of Jesus.
It is.
And his role in God's redemptive plan.
Absolutely. She argues that the New Testament can only be fully understood in light of the old.
Mm-hmm.
There are two parts of a larger story.
Yeah.
A story that speaks to the deepest longings of the human heart. The longing for redemption, for hope, for a world made right.
And these themes transcend time and culture, don't they?
They do.
They speak to something fundamental about the human experience,
mm-hmm.
regardless of your religious background
yeah.
or beliefs.
Absolutely.
What's been the most surprising or thought-provoking insight?
Oh, that's a good question.
You've gained from her lecture so far.
I'm particularly struck by the way that she connects the seemingly disparate genres and themes of the First Testament. You know, mm-hmm. she shows how they all contribute to this unified whole,
right.
this tapestry of human experience woven together with threads of faith, doubt, struggle, and hope. It's like she's revealing this hidden architecture that I hadn't seen before.
That's a great point. It makes me realize we've only just scratched the surface.
We have.
There's so much more to explore.
There is.
And discover in this treasure trove of ancient wisdom.
Absolutely.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
But Dr. Phillips doesn't just leave us with a head full of information.
Right.
She also challenges us to consider the relevance
mm-hmm.
of these ancient texts.
Right.
For our own lives.
Right.
So how do these ancient stories and laws and prophecies speak to us today?
Right.
What are some of the key takeaways that she highlights?
Well, she talks about the importance of character formation, you know, drawing on the examples of the First Testament heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And these weren't perfect people, you know. They made mistakes. They faced temptations. They experienced doubt and despair.
Yeah, just like us.
But through it all, they learned and grew, you know, developing qualities like integrity, compassion, and perseverance.
It's a reminder that character isn't something we're born with. It's something we cultivate.
Exactly.
Through our choices, our actions, and our responses to life's challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a process, not a destination.
And Dr. Phillips points out that the First Testament provides us with a framework for understanding justice and righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Concepts that are as relevant today.
Oh, absolutely.
As they were thousands of years ago.
Yes, yes.
She reminds us that true justice isn't just about following rules. It's about creating a society
mm-hmm.
where everyone has the opportunity to flourish.
Yes.
Regardless of their background or circumstances.
That's such a powerful challenge.
It is.
Especially in a world where injustice and inequality are still so prevalent.
Yeah. But it can feel overwhelming, right? Like, where do we even begin to apply these ancient principles to our modern lives?
Well, she suggests that we start by examining our own hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Our own biases, our own complicity in systems of injustice.
Mm-hmm.
She encourages us to listen to the voices of those who are different from us.
Right.
To learn from their experiences and to stand in solidarity with them as they fight for equality and dignity.
It's about moving beyond simply acknowledging the problem.
Right.
And taking concrete actions
mm-hmm.
to create a more just and equitable world.
Absolutely. And she also talks about the importance of finding meaning and purpose in life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's something I think we all grapple with at some point.
We do. We do.
And she points out that the First Testament offers this vision of human flourishing that goes beyond material wealth or worldly success. You know, yeah. It's about living in right relationship with God, with others, and with creation itself.
So it's about, I guess, finding joy in the simple things.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciating beauty, cultivating gratitude, and using our gifts and talents to make the world a better place.
Exactly. It's a pretty compelling vision, wouldn't you say?
It is. It is. And it's a vision that's rooted in the belief that we are created in the image of God, endowed with dignity, purpose, and the capacity for love and compassion.
Absolutely.
Wow. I don't know about you, but I am feeling so inspired right now.
Me too.
Dr. Phillips has given us so much to think about.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
It is.
How these ancient texts can still speak so powerfully to our modern lives.
Yeah. It's like she's given us this new set of lenses through which to view not just the Bible, but like the whole world around us.
Mm-hmm.
And as we wrap up our deep dive into her lecture, I'm struck by how she brings it all together.
Okay.
You know, she doesn't just leave us with a head full of information, but she challenges us to apply these insights to our own lives.
Yeah.
It's about moving beyond simply understanding the First Testament to actually embodying its wisdom.
She reminds us that the First Testament is full of stories about real people who faced real challenges and made real choices.
Right.
And their stories offer us this glimpse into the human condition, you know, into the complexities of faith and doubt, of love and loss, of hope and despair.
It's like she's saying, look, these were flawed individuals who struggled, messed up, and yet found their way forward.
Yeah.
And their stories can offer us guidance and encouragement as we face our own unique challenges.
Right. And she emphasizes that their stories aren't just ancient history, you know. They offer timeless insights into human nature, into the things we all grapple with, regardless of our time period or cultural background.
So as we go about our day, our week, our life, how can we keep these stories in mind?
That's a good question.
How can we apply their wisdom to our own experiences?
I think it starts with recognizing the common threads that run through all these stories.
Yeah.
You know, the longing for meaning, the search for purpose, the struggle to live a life of integrity and compassion.
Right.
These are universal human experiences the First Testament explores with just incredible depth and honesty.
And perhaps by engaging with these stories, by reflecting on the choices these characters made and the consequences they faced, we can gain a deeper understanding of ourselves.
Absolutely.
And our own place in the world. It's like holding up a mirror to our own lives and seeing ourselves reflected in these ancient narratives.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
And it's not about trying to perfectly imitate these characters or force ourselves into their mold.
Right.
You know, it's about recognizing the timeless wisdom they offer, the ways they can inspire us to live more meaningful, purposeful, and compassionate lives.
So it's about taking the best of what the First Testament has to offer. And letting it shape our own unique journeys.
Yeah.
It's about finding the echoes of these ancient stories in our own lives, in our relationships, in our communities.
But ultimately, it's about discovering how these texts, despite being thousands of years old,
can still speak to the deepest longings of the human heart, offering guidance, wisdom, and even hope in a world that often feels chaotic and uncertain.
This deep dive has truly been an eye-opening experience for me.
Yeah, for me too.
It's challenged my assumptions about the First Testament and left me with this renewed sense of wonder and appreciation for its enduring power.
I'm so glad to hear that.
I am.
And I hope our listeners feel the same way.
Yeah, I hope so too.
You know, Dr. Phillips has given us a gift.
She has.
A roadmap to navigate these ancient texts and discover their relevance for our own lives.
So as we sign off today, I want to leave our listeners with a challenge.
Okay.
What stories or characters from the First Testament resonate with you? What wisdom or insights do they offer for your own journey?
Yeah, don't be afraid to dig deep, to wrestle with these texts, to ask tough questions and seek out answers.
Yeah.
You know, the First Testament is this treasure trove of wisdom waiting to be discovered.
It is.
And its stories might just change the way you see the world.
Until next time, keep diving deep.